What a great song to lead us into the study of the Scriptures. We should pray every week. We should pray every day that God would make us thirsty for His Word. That we would hunger for the meat of Scripture. That our posture as we prepare to hear the Word read and preached would be to get down on our knees. To be completely humble. To be open-hearted. To be teachable, to come to Scripture with the attitude, Lord, whatever it is I need to hear, take away any resistance, take away any rebellion, take away any hardness, and like deep, dark, rich soil, make me receptive to what you have to say. May God give us such hearts. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're continuing our study of this letter of Paul to a church that had all kinds of problems. 1 Corinthians 3 is a passage where Paul confronts the bully that resides within each one of us. The Corinthian congregation was a church filled with bullies. And the church in the 21st century is not often much different. The Ant Bully is a computer animated film about a boy named Lucas who terrorizes an ant colony in his yard. In response, a wizard in the ant colony devises a potion and shrinks Lucas. And Lucas is forced to live with and work among the very ants that he was seeking to bully. In one scene, Lucas is talking to an ant friend named Zoc about how humans tend to treat each other. Watch.
It's funny. The sky looks exactly the same. Everything else is so different, but it's the same sky, same stars.
Why must you keep doing that? Are you ill?
What? Oh, me yawning. I'm just tired.
Please stop. It's disgusting.
Ants don't yawn?
Definitely not. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, this city of yours, it's like a nest?
Yeah. Kind of.
And the humans that live there are all brothers working together for the greatness of their colony?
No, not exactly. It's a little more like, you know, every man for himself.
But that's so primitive. How does anything get done?
Some people work together.
Some? Why not all?
I suppose it's because of their differences.
But it's the differences that make a colony strong. Foragers, scouts, drones, nurses, regurgitators, all are different but an essential part of the whole. This is where we ants draw our strength.
My differences just get me beat up.
And why is that?
I don't know. Some humans prefer to clobber people they don't understand.
Like you prefer to clobber ants.
I guess I didn't think about what I was doing. It seems to happen a lot. Ugh.
I suppose sometimes I too can act without thinking. Huh. Perhaps in this way, we are alike. Good night, Lucas.
Good night, Zoc.
Differences are supposed to make a colony strong. Differences are supposed to make a church strong. But often differences are what lead to people getting clobbered. Whether we're the clobberers or the clobberees. For the second time in three short chapters, the Apostle Paul is confronting divisiveness among the people of God. You see, as the people of God, we're just like Zach and Lucas. We sometimes don't think. And when we see people that are different than we are, or think differently, or different personalities, preferences, or opinions, we tend to clobber them instead of appreciate them. That can happen in the church. That can happen in the home. That can happen among siblings. It can happen among spouses. It can happen in the workplace. It can happen anywhere, and does. But Jesus Christ, as head and king of the church, says it needs to be dealt with by his grace through his spirit. He is able to transform us from bullies into lovers. And I don't care who you are this morning, you need to hear what the Spirit has to say. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. It's a rather lengthy reading this morning, but one where every word is important, so we're going to read every word. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 23, hear the Word of God. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not yet ready. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in only a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Please pray with me. Father, show us the ways that we become divisive, where we bully one another, whether in the home or in the church or anywhere else. Holy Spirit, come and make us people like Christ who love even our enemies. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The ant bully needs to meet Bob the Builder. Now, if you have young children or young grandchildren, you know who Bob the Builder is. Bob the Builder is a video that involves various types of construction equipment, construction machinery, and they're all called together to work together to accomplish various tasks. Bob's catchphrase is, "Can we build it?" And all of the machinery cries out, "Yes, we can." Paul is Bob the Builder in the passage before us this morning. And he's asking us as a church, can we build a church of unity and love? And the answer we're supposed to give by the power of the Holy Spirit is, yes, we can. But it won't be easy. Because of our sinfulness, because of our self-centeredness, we can tend to bully one another for our differences, for our preferences, for our opinions, for our perspectives. God has given variety to the church to be affirmed so that the colony of the church can be all that God means it to be. Paul, like Christ, will not stand for elements of disunity in the church. Look at verse 17. I mean, did the sobriety of that verse hit you as I read it? Let me read it again. God will judge those who tear down the temple. God gets upset when bullies tackle people in the church. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul says, warn a divisive person one time. After that, have absolutely nothing to do with them. I want us to approach this message very particularly and very specifically this morning. I want us to study this passage with people in mind, with relationships on our radar screen. I want you to listen to the message this morning with people with whom you have differences in mind. People you have a hard time loving because their personality doesn't quite mesh with yours. Or their preferences of various options in life don't match up with yours. And specifically, I want you to listen this morning with a view to your own words. What kind of things do you say about folk with whom you differ? What kind of speech flows out of your mouth? Jesus says it is out of the heart the mouth speaks. You want to know what's going on in your heart? Simply listen to your words. And as we move through this morning, since we all have a tendency to be bullies from time to time, we need to boast in the gospel. We need to rest in God's transforming promise of grace to change us. That's how Paul begins the passage, by the way. Paul has some difficult things to say, but look how he starts off. Verse 1, "But I, brothers, sisters, adopted children of God." We're reminded right from the outset that our God is a God of grace and love and patience and kindness. So as we begin to grapple with the bully within, we do it not in despair, but in great hope of being forgiven and transformed. How are ant bullies made into Bob the Builder? Three ways that flow out of this text. You'll find out in your program. First of all, we build community with humility. Look at verse 1. "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as of the flesh." To be of the flesh means to be dominated by sinful attitudes. To be dominated by a longing for the for the self to be propped up, to assert our arrogant opinions as God's opinions. Many times we're not even aware of what we're doing. And it leads, look at verse 3, to jealousy and strife. What's jealousy? Misplaced zeal over your own perspectives. Again, thinking that you have God figured out. In the Corinthian church, there was misplaced zeal over various leaders in the church. Paul, Apollos, Cephas. That can happen in our church as well. We tend to gravitate towards staff or elders or deacons that maybe we can relate with more effectively. But rather than simply appreciating humbly the differences in the church, we demonize people. It's just like the presidential election we just got through. You start forgetting about the differences that actually can create an environment of growth and wisdom. And you start demonizing those who think differently than you do. It creates strife. The next word in verse 3. Relational tension. Because we are arrogantly asserting our own individual opinions. And we speak words in our pride that tear down others and disrupt community. Paul says those attitudes need to be exposed as infantile. Look at verse 1. Paul says that's being infants in Christ. What is characteristic of an infant? They simply scream forth their wants. There's no filter that their desires go through. They scream about what they demand. There's no critical thinking with regard to their expression. And that happens in the church too, where we lose all filter over our tongue or our thoughts. We assume we've judged other people properly. And it's arrogant. And it's wrong. Look at verse 13. Paul says it's not our role to judge. It's not our role to make value statements on other people's hearts. It's not our role to discern whether people are spiritual or not. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. A day of judgment is coming. And on that day, every one of us will either stand or fall before our Maker. But that is not our role. That's God's place. And we are called to live humbly before one another, seeking to listen to one another. Husbands, wives, parents, children, elders, deacons, staff, church members, work associates. We are called to hold our views, our preferences, our opinions, our perspectives humbly. And to listen to one another. And to affirm that which is good and true and godly, even if it's different from how we see things. Look at verse 18. Paul warns us about pride. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks he's wise, let him become a fool. In other words, we don't evaluate as accurately as we think we do. We are always coming to misjudgments about others. And Paul says, watch it. In verses 19 and 20, Paul says, when we think we've got things figured out, God laughs. God catches the wise in their craftiness. The wisdom of the world is folly with God. What we're saying here is this. Develop a healthy mistrust of your evaluation and judgment of other people. You don't know their hearts. You don't know how God's at work in them. You don't know how God has used them in other people's lives. And you don't know that God is not finished with them yet. And frankly, you and I are often blind to our own shortcomings and weaknesses. You ever have those times in childhood that mark you? Those moments that for some reason you remember above other moments? I have one of those moments. It comes back to me periodically at the strangest times. It revolves around the movie Bambi, of all things. And you remember, one of Bambi's friends was a little rabbit named Thumper. Thumper was called Thumper because he'd always thump his leg. And when Thumper first met Bambi, Bambi was a young fawn, and Thumper says, "Wow, Mama, he's kind of wobbly, isn't he?" And you remember what Thumper's mama said? Said, "Thumper, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all." Now, I don't know why, but I've never forgotten that moment in that movie theater and that line. That line the Holy Spirit has brought to my remembrance more times than I can count. And there's a humility in that line that we need to take to heart. That as the people of God, as the family of God, as fathers and mothers and husbands and wives, as Christians in general, if we can't say anything nice, then may God give us the grace to not say anything at all. Build community with humility. And then secondly, build community with love. Look at verse 2. Paul says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for solid food." See, the Corinthians prided themselves that they were ready for the deep stuff of Christ. And Paul says, not so much. Milk is what is most basic to life. The first food of a newborn. What is Paul talking about? What is the milk the Corinthians are in need of? Well, it's love. I mean, the first commandment of Jesus, "A new commandment I give you, that as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Paul is seeking to get the Corinthians and us to appreciate the differences in one another. To see that those differences have been placed there by God. To see that in your marriage or in your parenting or in your church relationships, that God ordains difficult relationships in order to develop love in each one of our hearts. Did you catch that? God actually ordains difficult relationships. Relationships with people who think differently than we do, who are gifted differently than we are, who have different passions and burdens than we have. God has ordained difficult relationships to cast us upon Christ so that love would be developed supernaturally by His grace in our hearts. So think of the difficult relationships I wanted you to think about when we started the message. Think about the verbiage that comes out of your mouth concerning those people. And now embrace that person as a gift of God ordained in your life so that you might learn how desperately you need the power of the gospel to develop Christian love in your soul. Look at verse 8. Paul says, "He who plants and he who waters are one." Paul is saying, look around this congregation. We are all one. We are all God's fellow workers. And when we spew forth bully vindictiveness, we are tearing down people whom God loves, whom God has equipped, whom God has called, whom God delights in. Look at verse 16. "Do you not know that you are God's temple?" By the way, how do we often read that? We're having a little devotional time with Jesus. "Oh, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit." That's not what it says. The Greek there is plural, not singular. God is not building you up saying, individual Christian, you're the temple of God. Isn't that great? You have the Holy Spirit in you. He's saying, you are part of a community called the church. And the church is the temple of God. The people of God as a community have the Spirit of God. And there is a sense which you as an individual Christian and me as an individual Christian do not experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit apart from experiencing His presence and power in the context of the corporate community of God's people. And when we tear down one another, bullying people over our differences, we are tearing down the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God says when we do that, He will then tear down us. That, my friends, is strong truth. We learn about the infinite God by being in community. And the people we struggle with the most are very likely to be the tools that most reveal to us that element of God's character that we are clueless about. We need each other to reveal Christ to each other. And if we're constantly favoring those with whom we completely agree, then we will be worshiping a very small, very limited God. As flawed as we all are, we all bear witness to Christ to one another. Now, I'm hoping you understand, I'm the given here, I'm talking about Christians. But even non-believers created in God's image that we would love to bully and destroy in our sinfulness, even they are image bearers who are able to disclose to us as God's Spirit works in us the manifold nature of God's character. Look at verse 10. Paul cautions us. He says, let each one take care how we build upon the foundation of Christ. Love is to be our motivation, our aim, our goal in the church. You know the famous love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. They use it a lot at weddings. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not where Paul meant it to be primarily applied. Paul meant 1 Corinthians 13 to be applied in the church. Here. Let me remind us all of those words. Remember, this was the Corinthian church who prided themselves on great wisdom, great knowledge, great giftedness. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And then follows the great description, love is patient, love is kind. I want to search that up just a little bit for us this morning, keeping in line with our exercise and application. Instead of love, I want you to put in my words are. My words are. And see how you're doing. My words are patient toward others. My words toward others are kind. My words do not boast. My words are not proud. My words are not rude. My words are not self-seeking. My words are not easily angry. My words always protect others. Always express trust in others. Always hope for the other's good. And always persevere in love toward others. Are we ant bullies? Or are we Bob the Builders working together as the family of God? You know, the world sees it when the church doesn't get it. I mean, the world doesn't expect that they're going to get it, and so they don't make a big deal about when the world doesn't get it. But when the church doesn't get it, they make a big deal. You ever heard of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? It's the place in Jerusalem where they think, they say, it's the traditional site of the crucifixion and the tomb where Jesus was laid. Various portions of the church are given ownership of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And each branch of the church is given certain amounts of time and certain areas that they're in charge of. Well, last week on all the TV stations and radio stations and paper news, they ran a story about a fight between two of the branches of the church that were in charge of the Holy Sepulchre. It seems that the Greek Orthodox priests and the Armenian priests created a riot because one priest thought another priest had stayed too long and was therefore infringing on the other branch of the church's time to be in charge of the holy site. One priest of one branch threw a punch at the other priest. This was all captured on video. That led to kicking, biting, wrestling, throwing about of supposedly holy instruments, using holy candlesticks to knock one another out with holy love. And at the end of the story, the two reporters, I think they were British, were laughing. God wasn't. God doesn't. How are our attitudes and words, often clenched fists, punching another brother or sister in the mouth, or kicking them in the gut, or perhaps just as worse, causing the world to laugh at a church that's supposed to get what love is all about. Build community with humility, build community with love, and then thirdly and finally, build community with worship. If you go through this chapter, you'll be amazed at how many times the name of God is mentioned. How many times the Lord is made the focus. Paul's saying, folks, get your eyes on Christ. And you won't have time to play favorites with other people. And you won't have time to notice those little annoying things that bother you about other people. And you won't have time to focus on the differences you have between other people in the church of Jesus Christ. Focus on Christ. Worship Him. Get vertical. And you will find, as the song says, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. As we worship, our differences dissipate. As we worship, the annoyances we have about other people melt away. As we worship and we behold Christ, we're transformed. And we become more like the Savior we're worshiping. The one who loved and served to the very end. Notice how many times the word God is mentioned. Verse 5, it is the Lord who assigned gifts and responsibility. So honor His work in other people. Verse 6, it is God who gives the growth. Don't play favorites with people you think are gifted. It's God who needs to be worshipped. Verse 7, Paul repeats the same thing. Verse 9, literally the Greek says, God's fellow workers we are. God's field you are. God's building you are. God is the focus, not people, not their gifts and not their weaknesses. Not those things that you like and not those things that you dislike. God is the focus. Verse 11, the foundation is Jesus Christ. There's only one hero in the church. And His name is Jesus. Verse 16, the temple of God you all are. God's Spirit dwells in you all. Do not destroy God's temple. Folks, this is the bride of Christ. that we're sitting in the midst of right now. God loves his bride, and he does not take well when people bully his bride. Folks, we're all guilty of this. It shows itself in gossip. It shows itself in unkind words spoken to other people or to other people about other people. We need to fix our eyes on Christ. We need to realize that every conversation we have happens in the presence of Christ. Every word we say about someone else is said in the presence of Christ who loves that person. Every attitude we hold toward other people is held in the presence of Christ. Practice the presence of Christ, and your perspective is going to change. Worship Christ and all of those petty things we hold against one another begin to fade to black. There was a young grandchild that loved spending time with his grandpa. He was getting really old. He was losing his hearing. He was losing his sight. And they were fishing in a little boat just a few feet off the shore from his father's house, grandfather's house. And for some reason, the little boy was thinking about Jesus. And he said, "Grandpa, do you see God much?" And the grandfather, it seemed to the boy, wasn't listening. He was just sort of lost as he looked. And so the little boy said, "Grandpa, do you see God much?" And the grandfather looked at him, tears in his eyes, and said, "Son, it seems that lately that's all I ever see. God." If we would live that way, if we would live to see the presence of God in all of our relationships, all of our interactions, all of our verbiage, all of our conversation, all of our words, how would the church become a place where the world would say, "We know they are Christians by their love one for another"? The ant bully, the flesh, needs to meet Bob the Builder, the Savior. And we all need to be transformed from bullies into lovers. May God do such a work at Oak Mountain.